Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
John chapter 16, verses 16 to 22. John chapter 16, verses 16 to 22. Now let's read these verses and keep in mind this little phrase. It repeats itself several times through the text. A little while, a little while. Let's read. John chapter 16, verse 16. A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again, A little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said therefore, What is this that he saith, A little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again, a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your joy shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she has delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Now this little passage is best understood this way. It is a second advent passage. That is, throughout the Bible you are going to read a lot of prophecy. And this particular prophecy that you're reading about, some future event here, is something that even to this day has not happened. I mean, you could make a case that this is about his burial a little while, 3 days, 3 nights in the grave and in the heart of the earth, and then you shall see me. But then he said, because I go to my Father, and then you could make the case, as we've done here before, that he went up and ascended and returned the same day after his resurrection, and that's all from John chapter 20 and Matthew chapter 28, where in one place Mary sees him and he says, Don't touch me, for I've not yet ascended to my Father. And then in John he says, they see him and they say, All hail, and they touch his feet. They grab him by the feet. So, you know, that you could make that kind of thing. But that's not what this is. This is a second advent passage. That is, this is a prophecy concerning the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he says, A little while you shall not see me. That little while turns out to be nearly 2,000 years, the church age that we're in now, and again, a little while, and you shall see me, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for his 1,000-year reign. Now, there are several obvious clues that this is a second advent passage that are contained in the text, and we're going to study those today. Now, the first clue that this is a second advent passage is that little phrase that you keep hearing throughout the text. The phrase is, a little while, a little while. Now, that seems confusing sometimes when you think of it in terms of our perspective of time. For instance, if I were to say to my wife, I'll be home in a little while, then she would take that to mean somewhere, based on my schedule, between 30 minutes from now and maybe 4 or 5 hours from now. But if I said to you, I will be home in a little while, and I met 2,000 years, you'd think I was crazy. Because in our concept of time, a little while must certainly be within the day, and if not, within a couple of days. I'll be there in a little while. We generally mean in the same day and within the hour even. But for the Lord Jesus Christ, when he said a little while, he was not talking about time as far as you and I are concerned. That's time as far as he is concerned. I mean, one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. A couple of days for the Lord, that's a little while, that's not much time. when you're in eternity like Jesus Christ is, what's time? He is the beginning and the ending all at the same time, and in eternity there is no beginning and ending. Quite a remarkable thing there. Whatever hasn't happened is history to God, and what has already happened is future, depending on what side of eternity you're in. It's an amazing thing and almost incomprehensible to our little finite minds that are regulated by clocks and calendars. But he said a little while, and he said it seven times throughout the text. That's kind of mirrors, Daniel's 70th week and the tribulation and all that kind of stuff. He says a little while seven times through the passage, and this little while turns out being the period of time between his ascension and his second coming. All right, let's look at some of the passages that show us this in the cross references. First of all, look at Isaiah chapter 10, verse 25. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 25. Isaiah 10, 25, the Bible says, "For yet a very little while, and the indignation shall cease, and mine anger in their destruction. And the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him according to the slaughter of Midian on the rock of Oreb. And as his rod was upon the sea, so shall he lift it up after the manner of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing," and so on and so forth. And what you're dealing with here is a passage concerning the destruction that is going on during the tribulation. That phrase, the indignation, and this thing about God's anger being poured out, that's tribulation stuff. And what does he say? "For yet a very little while, and the indignation shall cease." Well, this was spoken by Isaiah somewhere around 700 B.C. He is referring to a future event that literally will take a very little while to do. And yet from the time that he spoke it till the time that it shall come to pass, we've already passed 2,700 years. All right, look at another time where you see this come up. Psalm 37, verse 10. Psalm 37, verse 10. Psalm 37, verse 10, "For yet a little while," there's that little phrase, "for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall do what? But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Well, this abundance of peace and this inheritance in the earth that goes to the meek is the thousand-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the little while where the wicked shall not be, and thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be, is the end of the tribulation and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at it again. In the book of Haggai, you go Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, and then that's the end of the Old Testament. Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Haggai 2, verses 6 and 7. "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land." Well, when you read the book of Revelation, you find that the shaking is so great. Stars fall out of heaven. And the earth quakes literally all over the globe. Verse 7, context, "I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts." That's the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So again and again, you see this little while is a tribulation passage going into the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll look at it one more time in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 37. "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry." Now you see, the Bible, as we have said, is the best interpreter of itself. It is the best commentary on itself. By simply cross-referencing the little phrase, "a little while," we were able to find four locations where the Lord, it prophesies his return following the pouring out of wrath and indignation and anger and quaking of the earth and heavens. That's all tribulation stuff going into the second coming of Christ. So that's one way that you know when the Lord was speaking to his disciples about being gone a little while, and you shall not see me, and then a little while, and you shall see me again, because I go to the Father. He was talking about this period of time where he is now in heaven, where we can't see him. We walk by faith and not by sight. And then he will return, and we'll actually see him here on the earth. All right, so that's one of the clues. But there's another, that this is a second Advent passage. And it is that phrase where the sorrow would be turned into joy. Look over here in verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but, watch it, your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Now, that little phrase there about sorrow going into joy is, again, a statement that is used whenever the Bible describes the coming out of the tribulation, a time of sorrow, and going into the second coming and the millennial reign of Christ, which is a time of joy. Let's look at some cross references so we can see this. Psalm chapter 30. Look at the phrase in verse 5, then we'll check the context. Psalm 30, verse 5, the Bible says, "For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Oftentimes in the Bible, like in Malachi chapter 4, for instance, the Bible refers to the second coming of Christ as the morning, or as the sunrise. We see a place, for instance, in 2 Peter chapter 1, where you and I are to take heed to the Bible, to the Word of God, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, nighttime, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Daybreak, morning. And so many times the second coming of Christ is referred to as the morning, and joy cometh in the morning at the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ. Weeping endures through the night. When you consider Mark 13, verse 35, and he talks about watching and waiting for the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "For you know not in what hour he cometh, or in what watch he cometh." And then he describes the four watches of the night. And that fourth watch of the night, from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the morning, is called morning, you see, second Advent. Now look at the context of Psalm 30, verse 1 through 7 as an example. David says, "I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me." Those are enemies of the Lord surrounding Jerusalem to destroy it. "O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me." In Jeremiah chapter 25, Jeremiah chapter 30, the Bible talks about healing the incurable wound of the Jews. And the Bible talks about them being saved and healed at the second coming of Jesus Christ. "O Lord," verse 3, "thou hast brought my soul from the grave." That is the resurrection of the nation of Israel from Ezekiel chapter 37. "Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." And then we read verse 5, verse 6, "And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. The stone that is cut without hands," in Daniel chapter 2, that destroys the image that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about. That is an image that prophesies all the world rulers until the coming of Christ. That little stone that is cut out of the mountain made without hands becomes a mountain itself on the earth, and it is a kingdom that will stand forever. "My mountain to stand strong, thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled." So he goes, the hiding of the face and the troubling is through the tribulation. The mountain standing strong is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Sorrow turned into joy at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ following the terrible tribulation. Look again in Psalm 126 at verses 5 and 6. Now, in Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6, we have typically spiritualized these verses as soul-winning verses, but truthfully, they deal with the second coming of Christ. Psalm 126, verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The weeping takes place in the tribulation. During the tribulation, there is 3.5 years of no rain at the latter part of the tribulation. There is a terrible famine. So following the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the return of the former and the latter rain. You can look up those references in your Bible. The former and latter rain, L-A-T-T-E-R-R-A-I-N. Talking about rain coming back in at a time following a tremendous drought and famine. And he says you're going to bear precious seed. And he said you're going to doubtless come again with the rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. They're back into a harvest time. Once again, look in Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. What we're studying are the Second Advent references and tribulation references in John chapter 16, verses 16 to 22, concerning the little while that Jesus Christ told his disciples he would be gone so they couldn't see him, and the little while before they would see him again. It's a reference to the tribulation and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 65, look at verse 18. Isaiah 65, look at verse 18. Here the Bible says, but be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Well, they that sow in tears, there's the weeping, shall reap in joy. Here we have the weeping shall be no more heard in her, and the voice of crying. Why? Because they're going to rejoice in Jerusalem, a people of joy. The former troubles are not going to be remembered. Those things are coming out of the tribulation and going into the millennial reign of Christ at his second coming. So, one of the clues in our text that we are on a second Advent passage is the phrase, a little while. The second clue is this phrase, your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Sorrow shall be turned into joy. Now, there's a third phrase in here that lets us know we are on Second Advent ground. You see, there are a lot of people who don't like to rightly divide the word of truth. They call that dispensationalism, and then they have a great aversion to it and say, you're a dispensationalist. You know, the Bible is one continuous thing. There's no difference in God's dealing with men in the Old Testament, the New Testament, all that other kind of stuff. Well, for not worried about being called a dispensationalist, we're mild in that category, but not worried about being called that, the Bible does tell us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And when the Lord speaks in John chapter 16 and tells them, in a little while you're going to see me, listen, we've been waiting to see him for nearly 2,000 years, and we're not going to see him until he returns to this earth. And I had a man come to my office one day, not too long ago, and he said, do you believe in the literal return of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth? And I said, yes. He said, well, there's nothing like that in the Scripture. Where would you ever get an idea like that? You know, some people are taught completely out of believing the Bible. The Lord said, you're going to see me, and that seeing is going to be here on the earth. Now, notice, he said, a little while, your sorrow shall be turned into joy, and then this phrase here in verse 21. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. So that's painful childbirth and labor. But following the labor of childbirth, when the man-child is born, she has joy and forgets the sorrow of her travail. That woman in travail, that expression, is an expression that describes the tribulation, and the birth of the man-child is an expression that describes the second coming of Christ. All right, let's look at it. Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26, and look at verse 17. Isaiah 26, and look at verse 17. Now keep this phrase in mind. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain, and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. But as she is in pain, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We've not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Oh, second coming of Christ. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. Ezekiel 37, the valley of dry bones, the graves of all the house of Israel opening. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors, and so forth and so on. Verse 21, for behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. Tribulation, the earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. So this woman in travail is the tribulation, and the delivery is the national restoration, the national resurrection of the nation of Israel at the second coming of Christ. Okay, look at this passage again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 5:1, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night, second coming. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, when you study the book of Revelation, you're going to find a woman with child in Revelation chapter 12. That woman pictures Israel, and the birth of her child pictures the national rebirth and the national restoration and the national resurrection of the nation of Israel at the second coming of Christ. Now, Revelation chapter 12 speaks about this woman. She's pregnant, and the dragon, in verse 3, comes to try to kill her seed. Verse 5, and she brought forth what kind of child? A man-child. Well, you know what? When the Lord spoke this passage in John chapter 16, you know what he said? As her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Well, Revelation 12:5 speaks of the birth of a man-child who was to rule all nations with the rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Then she flees into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of the Lord. Then we go into the latter part of the tribulation, and finally, leading to right there at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that deliverance of the man-child of this woman in travail speaks of? It speaks of the national rebirth of Israel. Look in Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. The nation of Israel, what's left, that little remnant is going to be born again. In Isaiah 66, those are passages that are paralleled in Hebrews chapter 8. But we're going to look at Isaiah 66 right here. Look at verse 7. Isaiah 66:7, before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. And what do you have? Verse 10, rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. There it is. So Jesus Christ is giving you Second Advent prophecies when you read John chapter 16, verses 16 to 22. But there's one other clue in here. Not only the phrase, a little while. Not only the phrase that your sorrow should be turned into joy, not only the phrase that a woman in travail, but also this phrase, I will see you again. After all, it is about the second coming of Christ, amen. I will see you again. Verse 22, ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. I will see you again, the Lord said. Well, that's Zechariah 12:10. Zechariah 12:10, second to the last book in your Old Testament. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. and they shall mourn for him, as one mourneth for his only son. They're going to see Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 9, we see it again. We're just giving you a couple of references here because they're all over the Bible. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, here's another reference to the same thing. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And he says in conclusion, your joy no man taketh from you. You know why? Because when the Lord comes back, he's here to stay. And nobody going to take that joy away from you. You see, our rejoicing, according to Paul, our rejoicing is going to be the souls that have been led to Jesus Christ through our testimony. And our joy is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming forever. And he'll be here to stay. Now, during this time of pain and tribulation, there's a little phrase in here that says the world, in verse 20, it says the world shall rejoice. And they do. If you will go back and study the beheading of the witnesses in Revelation chapter 11 during the tribulation, when Moses and Elijah get their head cut off and they are lying in the streets of Jerusalem, the world rejoices and they send presents one to another. They're having a big party, big hoedown. They that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. But their joy is going to be short-lived because all of a sudden all hell is going to break loose with the devil on this earth and then the Lord's coming back. And when he comes back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not a time to be on the losing side. Let me tell you something. If you want to know that just in a little while you'll see Jesus, and that whatever sorrow you may have may be turned to joy, and whatever trouble you're having that feels like a woman in travail, like they're going to be in the tribulation, you're going to see Jesus. And you're either going to see him in flaming fire when he comes to destroy you because you haven't received him, or you're going to see him in joy because your Savior will arrive. Which do you think you ought to do? I suggest you see him in joy. You know how to do that? You need to receive him as your Savior.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.